It's True Detective racing to a narrow lead. New Arrangement's closing him together with Grand Piano. New Arrangement on the outside of Grand Piano. New Arrangement from Grand Piano, who's lifting. New Arrangement just in front. Reese Jones riding for dear life, and there's four for the kid. New Arrangement just beat Grand Piano, and True Detective's
running. Well, there was four for the kid on Saturday. He also had two yesterday at Warwick Farm, but it has been a roller coaster ride. And for most Victorians, not many had really heard of Reese Jones until he burst onto the scene in recent weeks. And everyone knows who he is now. And it's great to have a chat to him on Racing Pulse this morning. Good morning, Reese. How are you?
Good, thank you, Michael. Good to be here. Thanks for the chat.
Ah, mate, it's been great to have a chat to you because it's been an unbelievable long weekend for you. We'll go back to the four winners on Saturday. And when you're riding winners for the ilk of James Cummings, John O'Shea and Chris Waller among your four winners, you must be pinching yourself. What was Saturday like for you?
Yeah, it was an unreal experience, you know. Just to come away with one winner, you know, I was happy with that. But to come away with the four, you know, yeah, it's just unreal. I'd never, you know, thought that was going to be possible. But, yeah, look, yeah, fantastic.
Tell us a little bit about your background, Reese, because you're 25 years of age. And I know you've had a few injury problems to get over throughout your career, but what's your racing background?
Well, my family were all in racing. So my mum was a strapper. She worked in stables. And my stepdad was Neil Canton. He used to be a jockey, pretty successful one. And then, you know, I was probably about 18, 19 when I kind of found myself in it. I was working in construction, kind of didn't really enjoy it by the end of it, and yeah, I found my way through racing with the help of family and ended up with Rod Northam here in Scone. And
gee whiz.
Look, yeah, I had no horse experience before I came here, and kind of everything has been through him. So, yeah, no, very thankful to have that opportunity.
So you were on the tools on construction sites, were you, before that? What were you doing?
Yeah, look, bit of demolition, probably operating a jackhammer that, you know, weighed the same amount as I did, so yeah, it just wasn't for me by the end of it.
And then what was the transition like into trying to become a jockey? You say you hadn't really had much experience around the horses. How long did it take you to find your rhythm? Were you a natural?
Some would have said that I was kind of natural, but, you know, it wasn't an easy transition. Yeah, look, I love what I do. I stuck it out. I enjoyed it, and I worked very hard to, you know, try and make it as a jockey, and I feel like I've done that.
And I mentioned those injuries that you've had a couple of bad falls, and one of them was a total reconstruction of your knee as well. So how physically is the body holding up?
Yeah, the body's holding up all right. You know, on those cold mornings, it might feel a little bit stiff and sore, but it just takes a little bit longer to warm up. But no, it's holding together well so far, so fingers crossed it stays that way.
It's a pretty tough industry to break into, especially the Sydney jockey room and the Melbourne jockey room, where the depth is so strong. And I know winter is the moment or the time that apprentices get the spotlight, but how difficult has it been to try and break into the metropolitan ranks with the depth of Sydney jockeys?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, there is such a depth to the ranks here. You know, you've got some of the best jockeys in the world that you're riding against. So definitely you've got to be on top of your game if you want to, you know, try and get your name out. Not an easy feat by any means, but I've been lucky enough to have a bit of luck, bit of success lately. So, yeah.
What's it like when you're knocking off a Hugh Bowman or a James McDonald?
it's special, you know. You know what kind of calibre those jockeys are, and to be even riding against them, it's a privilege. And, you know, then to win a race like that, it's just a fantastic feeling, really.
And I know Rodney Northam, your master's been obviously a great help, but do you ask advice of the legends that you're riding against? Do you have a mentor that you look up to?
Yeah, look, I'm always open to advice, especially from the calibre of guys there. If I've got anything, you know, Karen McAvoy, Tommy Berry, James McDonald, Hugh Bowman, you know, the likes of them, they're always willing to help. And I feel like I'm always open to, you know, suggestions if I do anything wrong. if I feel like I can do something better, I'll ask them or they'll tell me. So to have those kind of people around you is, you know, very beneficial.
You've had, I think, 13 Metro wins now this season, and you're leading the country apprentice title. Do you set yourself goals?
Yeah, I have set myself a few goals. I've had to reset a couple of them. I wanted to get 50 winners in the season. I did that. Then I wanted to get 75. I did that. So I put it to 100 wins to the end of the season. It's probably a little bit ambitious, but see how it goes.
Well, you're absolutely flying. Tell me, yesterday, though, it was an unusual occurrence. It's probably the first time it's happened in your career, especially a metropolitan meeting, where a horse that you've actually won a race on has weighed in light. What was that like from your perspective?
Yeah, look, it was very disappointing, very frustrating, especially, you know, for everyone involved. So the lead bag was left off. Whoever's saddling it up came back, weighed in light, and, yeah, it was just very disappointing. Not only for me, but for the trainer as well. I know how much it would have meant to him to get a win. He hasn't had a win for a while. But, yeah, I just feel bad. Not only for myself, but for him as well, you know.
I'd imagine it must be a shocking feeling when you jump on those scales and you realise you're 1.4 kilos underweight, because you would have no idea. It's not your job to be adding the lead bag or anything like that. What did you first think when you jumped on the scales?
I was like, where's the lead bag? That was my first response. It was just very, very disappointing. Could have been a city treble for me as well, but yeah, for the trainer as well. He's a lovely bloke, and it would have meant the world for him, didn't it, to have that win. But yeah, just unfortunate how it all worked out.
Well, you're the hottest property in Sydney racing at the moment, Reece. What's this weekend looking like?
I'm actually suspended for the next couple of days, so a pretty easy week, actually.
Well, what do you do when you're suspended? Does your boss say, now, I'm going to get you to work a bit harder around the stables because you're off in the city so much?
Yeah, more or less. I love doing track work, so it's probably, you know, he probably finds it hard to get me away from the stables, really. I like coming in, riding my horses, doing work. But yeah, I'll probably just be doing that for the next few days and it'll all start up again.
Now, you're 25 years of age, you're born and bred in New South Wales. Do you know anything about Australian rules football, AFL?
No, a little bit, but not a whole lot. I can't say I'm the biggest fan.
Oh, that's right. Well, if you came to Victoria, a lot of racing fans are calling you David at the moment, because there was a famous Carlton footballer back in the 80s called David Rees-Jones. So you've got a bit of a cult following down here as well. There's a few SMSs coming through as well. Hey, Reece, great to have a chat to you, mate. You sound like a lovely bloke. 25 years of age, you're absolutely killing it. And we'd love to see you when you get a chance to ride down here in Melbourne as well. Keep up the good work.
Beautiful. No, thanks very much. Really appreciate it.